Welcome to Money and Taxes from BB to XYZ, where we break down a single money topic and explain how it affects those across generations from baby boomers to X, Y, and Z. I'm Regina Neenan, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Jason Spessener, Certified Financial Planner and Enrolled Agent.
On today's episode, we're going to talk about the Dirty Dozen.
Dirty Dozen.
It's a list that the IRS releases after tax season each April, identifying the scammiest tax fraud schemes from that year.
So we're doing this now from last year's Dirty Dozen. So just so you're aware of some of these things during tax season and hopefully can avoid them, because by the time they release this 2024 version, you'll probably have already filed your return and it'll just be too late. So why don't we cover these right now?
Yeah, let's get into some of these scams and let's kick it off with baby boomers.
Yeah, so the IRS identifies a lot, right? A dozen different scams. But we looked at a couple that we think maybe would apply a little bit more to baby boomers. And so they are getting into some of this online account help from third-party scammers. So this is going to be somebody that's going to call you and tell you that, hey, I have noticed in your blah, blah, blah bank account that you might need some assistance with, or I'm going to send you a one-time code so that you can benefit from my service of helping you with something. And usually that is, of course, a scam because no one's going to call you and say, I need to send you a code. What they're doing is waiting on that code to get entered into your phone. So they're wanting you to give it to them.
Yeah. And this might come across as someone who's like genuinely wanting to help you so that you don't have to try to figure out your taxes on your own. And an easy way to get around this is, of course, by working with a verified professional.
And knowing when you're giving a code like that, of course, you want to be the one initiating that. If someone ever calls you and asks you for one of those text codes, one of those authentication things, it is almost certain that they are somehow scamming you and you need to be careful. You need to hang up the phone and walk away. Of course, then there's this other idea, which one of my favorite words is going to come up here, but phishing and smishing. And Reggie, why don't you tell everyone what smishing is?
Well, smishing is probably going to be one of my favorite words now, too, but it's phishing via SMS text. So someone's getting a hold of you via text, trying to get a hold of your information that they really shouldn't have their hands on in the first place because it is your personal identifiable information.
Now, I communicate with the IRS a lot. This is part of my job. And part of being a enrolled agent is you represent taxpayers before the IRS. And so I have to communicate with them. I'll tell you one thing. I have never gotten an official piece of IRS correspondence via email that was asking for any sort of tax account related thing. Nothing at all. You might get a confirmation from the IRS via email because you put something in their electronic system or did something like that, but never account related correspondence. And via text message, come on, the IRS is not there yet. And hopefully won't get there for quite some time because it is. It's a pretty loose way to be communicating some of your tax account data for sure.
Yeah, so if someone's reaching out to you to assist with your taxes, probably not a good sign to work with them. Usually tax professionals are people who you need to seek out and who are in really high demand at this time of year. So not very likely that someone's going to be, you know, cold calling you to offer help with your taxes. And also, if you are getting a code, whether it's via email, via phone call, via text, that's your code for you. Don't share it with anyone. Don't offer up your personal information to other people so that they can take advantage of you. Hold that close and don't let it get out there.
And 99.9% of the time, you are going to learn about your IRS thing, whatever that is, whether it's an issue, whether it's just a request for more info, whatever. Via regular plain old snail mail on paper. That is where you will get that notification. It will be just a regular old letter in the mail.
Yeah, the IRS is pretty old school like that, huh?
For sure. Although they claim they're on this modernization kick. So we'll see how they catch up and how quickly that happens.
Let's move on to our Gen Xers, because of course, the things that baby boomers may fall victim to, that goes across generations, especially with technology being as ubiquitous as it is. But there are a couple of dirty dozen tax scams and schemes that may specifically target our Gen Xers here. And one of them is fake charities. Maybe you're in Gen X, you're in your high earning years, and you want to share the wealth. You want to spread it around, help out the charities that really mean a lot to you. You're doing this out of the goodness of your heart and maybe for a little tax break, but you want to make sure that that charity is indeed a verifiable charity according to the IRS. How can you do that?
So there actually are ways to check on this, believe it or not. And so that's something that I suggest, unless you know you're making your regular old donation that you give every single year, like you're going to want to research if somebody approaches you out of the blue and says, like, make a donation to our organization. So the IRS has a tax-exempt organization search tool. We'll put the URL in the show notes, but it's apps.irs.gov/app/EOS. And all you do is go in there and put in whether it's the EIN number or whether it's the organization name. You just put in a name and it will tell you if that organization, one, is a tax-exempt organization of any kind, but then also, two, if they appear on Publication 78. And if they appear in Publication 78, they are eligible to receive tax-deductible charitable contributions.
And if you donate to a charity that's not a real charity, I mean, that's kind of sad on both ends. You're not going to be able to get the tax deduction. And somebody's probably taking that money and doing whatever they want with it. It's not going to the good cause that you wanted that dollar to go to in the first place.
And think about how we're talking about finding out that you are not getting this tax deduction. Because imagine making a very sizable contribution to the obscure charity that turns out to not be real, and it's sizable. And all of a sudden, one day, you get that letter from the IRS questioning that deduction, and now you owe taxes and penalties on this spooky situation. So yeah, definitely research and vet your charities before you make those contributions.
Absolutely. Now, we mentioned at the top of our little piece about Gen Xers here being a high income earner. Jason, what are some other schemes that may specifically target those in their higher earning years?
Okay, so there's a couple that start to get into some of this planning for either some excess income or what to do with potentially a high tax year. And they are charitable remainder trusts, and also something referred to as a monetized installment sale, or like a tax deferral investment vehicle of some kind, both of which you have potential to do legally and completely in a way that is not tax evasion, but tax avoidance and a legal approach to minimizing your tax liability. A charitable remainder trust, for an example, is a great way to front load basically some contribution to a trust vehicle that provides you some income, or maybe a family member some income during your lifetime. And then when you pass away, of course, that remainder, the dollars that are left, go to the charity. And so there's a benefit that works all around. It gets you an upfront tax deduction, gets you income coming in, and then, of course, gets the charity some dollars at the end of it. But sometimes these are being promoted and abused in a way that's not consistent with that approach. And so all of a sudden, you're finding yourself in a situation where you're in an illegal tax shelter of some kind that is not performing and behaving like a charitable remainder trust should. So you definitely have to vet those vehicles and make sure that they are, again, legitimate vehicles. The other kind of deferral mechanism, I've heard them called like deferred sales trusts and these other sorts of vehicles where you're sort of creating this exchange within a vehicle, a trust vehicle of some kind. And somehow, through all this magic and all these extra words that are in your trust document, you're able to avoid all this tax in conflict with, obviously, the tax code. And so, again, being very careful that you're vetting the actual legitimacy of some of these things and having financial advisor, your tax advisor, vet them for you, that would be incredibly important when you're dealing with this sort of planning.
Do your research, make sure that everything that you are doing is legit. Stay away from these. And we're only getting into a couple, so be sure to check out the Dirty Dozen. We'll put the link in the show notes from last year's. But keeping these rolling, what about our Gen Y, our millennials? A big one is social media.
Well, what do you get on social media? Here's what I think you get. You get some instructions on how to do things in either a fraudulent or just frankly bad advice sort of way. And you see it too often. And frankly, unfortunately, I see it all the time. And I'm sitting there on social media and I'm not that inclined to be that active in it, but I'm reading or listening or watching somebody explain this concept. And frankly, sometimes it's just like, whoa, that's way out of left field of how that works. That's not designed to work that way. And that could get you into big trouble if you're not vetting that.
Yeah, exciting stuff on social media and realistic taxes. If it sounds too good to be true, if it sounds really exciting, it's probably too good to be true. It probably doesn't align with the U.S. tax system and how that's meant to function.
Hey, guess what? For real, taxes are kind of boring. I'll just throw this out there. Like an LLC, it's not a magic tax bullet. It doesn't make you all of a sudden immune to paying your taxes or being taxed in a certain way. It's not the thing that just changes stuff, right? And so you'll see that promoted all the time. That's probably the number one thing. Oh, you just need an LLC. And that's not the answer to every tax problem. Trust me on that. Now, I know a lot of our Gen Zers, of course, are also using social media quite a bit and seeing some of these things. But then also, you got to remember, Gen Z, you're probably just getting into preparing your tax return. Maybe this seems intimidating. Maybe you're like, whoa, this is a kind of a big deal. And maybe you have a circumstance where potentially an unscrupulous tax return preparer might be able to take advantage of you and explain some things in a way that sound, well, again, too good to be true. But frankly, if you're looking to save all of a sudden five-figure, six-figure tax bill, hey, this might be the way to go.
Or yeah, get a bigger return than you were expecting, or find a loophole here that's going to pay off for the next how many years. Or maybe it's just someone who's willing to help you because you're doing it for the first time. And maybe you're a little scared because, yeah, you've never done this before, but maybe they're going in there to try to get a hold of some of your personal information. Jason, what are some other examples of what an unscrupulous tax preparer might do?
Well, here's the thing I always think about. If they're framing this stuff about the refund, if it's all about how big can we make your refund, that should be the red flag. Because your refund, let's keep in mind what that represents. Typically, a refund is representing exactly what it says, a return of money that you've already paid in, right? That's generally where your refund's coming from. Now, there are provisions in the tax code that, of course, provide money to taxpayers as a credit, a refundable credit, because they're in a financially disadvantaged circumstance. Maybe they're low income. Maybe for their family size, they're at a certain part of the poverty level, they qualify for the earned income credit. They get the child tax credit. There's lots of parts of the tax system also that incentivize behavior. For example, renewable energy and putting solar. You have these potential things that provide credits that pay money back to you. And so if that person is framing everything about how big they're going to make your refund, maybe they are trying to get you into some of these credits that you're not eligible for in the first place. And that should be a really big red flag.
Well, now that we've gone over a few of these scams and schemes, let's get into today's takeaways.
Takeaway number one, right? There's going to be a number of scams and schemes to avoid this tax season. Probably something new that we didn't cover here today. Like I said, we use last year's list, but these are still so like prevalent. They're out there. Even when the IRS publishes something like this, not everyone's reading the IRS's publication, so not everyone knows about these. So hopefully you've heard something today that maybe rings a bell and says, oh, I probably shouldn't do that thing. So absolutely, just be careful, watch out.
Takeaway two, do your research. Working with a CPA or EA can help you ensure tax season safety, of course, but also help to make you aware of what you should be avoiding.
Yes, a competent and well-regarded CPA or EA will definitely help you do that. And of course, takeaway number three, no matter your generation, use this Dirty Dozen list to keep yourself safe during tax season. Keep yourself avoiding these sorts of schemes and scams and tricks and just stay up on it. We'll publish it when it comes out here in April and let you know what the updates are. But just kind of stay online with those things and understand where these issues are coming from.
Have you come across a dirty tax scam or scheme in the past? If you have, we want to know about it. You can reach us at Money and Taxes from BB to XYV at podcast@fpfoco.com. You'll also find that email in the show notes.
And this episode was written and produced by me, Jason Spessener. But now I hear Reggie also does something special with this episode as well. What's that, Reggie?
I edit the episode.
Yes. Well, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.
Jason Spessener and Regina Neenan are investment advisor representatives of Financial Planning Fort Collins, a registered investment advisor. The information in this podcast is provided for general educational and entertainment purposes only. It may not apply to you or your specific circumstances and should not be considered financial, investment, or tax advice.